from Atlanta News First Plus, this is Sports Tonight.
Welcome into Sports Tonight. Bailey Burmaster alongside Lee Smith, and we have a fun special edition of Sports Tonight for you tonight because baseball is finally back. We're going to talk baseball. We're going to talk a little bit about Georgia spring football back in action. March Madness is finally back tonight. We took a few days break, but we're getting back into the mix now. Also want to talk some Caitlin Clark. I mean, she's as big as they come right now in basketball, period. Yeah. Men's, women's. Yeah. A lot of people know who Caitlin Clark is, lining up to get an autograph from her at games. So we're going to talk about her and joining Team USA's training camp, and then we'll get on what's our mind. It's that time of year. I always feel like March, April is a really fun time. Things kind of get a little bit more slow in May and in the summertime, and then they pick back up with Falcons training camp.
And then everything starts again.
Correct. So all 30 teams were scheduled to be in action for Thursday for opening day, but rain postponed the Brewers, Mets, and Braves, Phillies. Obviously, locally, you know that. The Braves will now have a first pitch of 3:05 on Friday against the Phillies. Braves country doesn't have to wait that much longer. They did release the 26-man opening day roster. No real surprises. You know, the lone first-timer is Forrest Wall, so... that's really what you're working with. There's not a whole lot of other surprises, but there were a bunch of games. Have you been watching any games? I think we've just been working.
I haven't really been watching any games today. It's been like kind of just pedal to the metal for us.
I did see the Tigers won. The Detroit
Tigers won 1-0. The Reds beat the Nationals 8-2.
Ooh.
Brett says
the Cardinals are not good. How about...
the Orioles
taking care of the Angels.
Yeah,
11-3. Ron Washington losing his first game.
Well, the Orioles are a really good team.
They are a really good team, but just saying.
Yeah. Let's see. Current scores. Blue Jays are on top of the Rays by 6.
What are the Yankees doing?
The Yankees are currently winning 5-4 against the Astros.
So ooh, what a good matchup that is.
That'd be a good little opening day win for them.
Yeah.
Yeah, not a whole lot of shockers.
So, since we're talking baseball, and I think we did this early on when I started in the midst of baseball season last year, Lee.
Mm-hmm.
What do you deem a successful season for the Braves this year now that the season is officially getting underway on Friday?
A World Series win.
I am not there, right? I'm like, you have to do better than you did last year, which they lost to the NLDS.
The team is setting their own. They've all said the same thing in spring training. World Series or bust. They literally all said that.
No.
So if that's the goal, that's the goal.
Here's where I'm at. I think the goal is a World Series or bust this year for the mere fact, how long can your roster be stacked and you don't measure up to the roster? You cannot keep falling short. And I am curious if the team feels that pressure this year or they embrace it and they agree with it and they make a statement.
I would assume they've got to feel a little bit of pressure just for the simple fact that Alex Anthopoulos is making these insane deals. And even though they're well ahead of what the market says they should be paid in terms of money and years, they're like, this core is going to be together for a good little chunk of time.
Mm-hmm.
But every year someone's gonna leave. And it won't be the same as the previous year. They added a lot of talent this year, actually. Mm-hmm. I mean, Chris Sale, if he can stay healthy, that's huge.
I hope he has a big year. I mean, I think him healthy and being in part of that rotation could be some serious danger.
If you got a guy coming in there and he's getting, you know, at least one, if he's gonna average like 1.5 strikeouts per like inning, I mean, that's insane. I mean, if you can get a second Spencer Strider, essentially, I mean, that's only going to be good news.
We will see. I think we're all excited to get some Braves baseball under the way. Another score I just saw, the Dodgers just went final. They beat the Cardinals 7-1. Ugh. Dodgers are still dodgering. I think that's what that tells you.
Or the Cardinals are still cardinaling.
Tomato, tomato. Yeah, they're probably both. I don't think we talked about this. Ellie and I had talked a little bit about this, but I want to get your opinion, Lee. The Shohei Ohtani story. What do you take?
I don't know. It's just too much coincidence there. I don't know. I don't think he's telling the whole truth.
I think they're backpedaling to save him.
How do you lose, what was it, $4 million?
4.5, I think.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to have, like, double authentication to, like, be given away that much money at one
mm-hmm.
time. I just don't see how he didn't know that was, I don't know. Not a financial guru, obviously, but still, come on.
I just think
you got to know you're losing your money, especially that much money.
I just have the feeling they overstepped a little bit, and now they're trying to backpedal to walk it back to make sure Shohei doesn't get in any type of trouble. It's unfortunate because I think the reality is Shohei was just trying to help out a friend who was in desperate need with a gambling addiction, not realizing the ramifications of, like, yes, you're paying for it, but you're going to be directly correlated with this illegal betting book.
Yeah.
Not realizing even though you're not actively betting on it, you are tied to it, and that's going to be a little bit against the rules.
I mean, I wonder if, like, he was actually involved. Like, was he the one gambling and just threw the guy into the bus? I don't know.
Doesn't pin me as, like, a gambler type.
No, but, like, wouldn't that be the exact person you would think? Like,
I don't know.
Who could get away with it, right?
I'm going to stick with, I think, the actual gambler as his interpretator. That's where I'm going to stay.
Yeah.
Let's switch gears. We're going to talk about Georgia spring football. They're getting things wheeling and dealing.
Yeah.
Kirby said last week, I was very interested about, like, hey, where can Carson Beck improve? And he really just said his receiver room is all new. He's got to learn how to build trust with other guys and build that camaraderie to make sure the offense is wheeling and dealing on all, you know,
cylinders.
Phases. Yeah, cylinders. Do you get concerned about that with a team like Georgia, though, for real, when you're not even reloading? You just have talent after talent?
I wouldn't normally, but the fact that McConkey and Brock Bowers are gone, those are huge
Marcus,
losses.
Marcus, Rosemary Jack Saint.
Kendall Milton. Yeah, Rosemary Jack Saint. That's a lot of stuff on offense to overcome. And I know they've got a good receiver room, but that's still a lot. Not to mention, let's see, who's new on the offensive line? They're losing Mims and Cedric Van Pran was there for, it felt like 8 years. It feels like he was there when Stetson started. But you don't have your leader on the offensive line. You don't have, so it's a lot. It's going to be a lot for him. But the good news for them is if there's a guy that can overcome all that, guess what? He's in your huddle.
Yep.
So could be worse.
Would you feel some type of way about him driving a Lambo truck in Athens? A more fun question.
I mean, whatever. Hey, look, it's his money.
As long as he gave me rides and took me to Chick-fil-A.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Pulling up to Chick-fil-A for in a sure. Lambo truck.
Well, Cane's. I think Cane's is their thing.
Cane's is their thing.
Right?
Sorry, I'm Chick-fil-A diehard. Chick-fil-A diehard over here.
Oh, yeah.
All right, let's head to some Georgia football sound to see what's going on down in Athens.
It's a teaching moment, and we hope he gets better from it. You know, in addition to our university discipline process, we've got all the stuff we deal with inside house, and he'll, you know, be with those same details. He'll be under the same rules that we have in house as well as the university discipline. So disappointed in his decision making, but he is a good kid. And with that, I'll open it up for questions.
Kirby, is this a situation where you have to let the legal situation play itself out before you decide on any discipline going forward, or has that already been determined?
Some of both. I mean, some of it has to play itself out. We're still gathering information in terms of the report and things, but some things we know already, as usual. Like I said, the university discipline is going to take its course as well as what he has to have consequences for his actions from the team. So both those things will play out as we gather more information.
Yeah, Coach, I'm curious, during your time here, have you ever seen, like, during spring practice, a player, it just seems like it clicks or he has a tremendous spring, and then that rolls over into his performance in the fall? And if you have, if there's been anybody that might be on that track this spring?
Man, it's hard to say. It's like on a continuum. I wish there was somebody I could think of You know, I thought Carson had a really good spring last year because he, you know, took more of the ones reps than he ever had. And then he had a really good fall, but I fully expected that to happen with him. Dylan Bell last year had a really good spring and, thought he had a good season. You know, a couple of the young linebackers we've had where they like had good springs and then jump forward to that. I mean, there's a lot of guys I think having good springs out there right now, but only time will tell whether that turns into a great fall.
Hey, Kirby, we get a chance to talk to Ja'Cory Thomas for the first time today and wanted to ask you how he's been able to go at it this spring and where he's at kind of in that, you know, safety competition, because I know you guys are going to have one opposite of Malachi.
Yeah. You guys are going to have a couple guys today that you haven't had as much. I'm trying to get some more faces out there. We're such a young team. So I asked that y'all go easy on Ja'Cory and Julio. They're probably scared to death, to come talk to you guys, but he's a great kid. He's, we recruited him as a size and speed player. I mean, he has really good size. He has good speed. He's fun to coach. He is a great kid. He had a first year. He played a lot of nickel star in high school, more like a Sam linebacker walk out in space. We taught him his freshman year really how to play safety. That was new for him. Last year, I felt like he got to the point that he could really understand the defense, know it, react. When you've never seen things from 10 yards and you've only played them from 2 to 3 yards, it's a big change in visual backing up. Well, he's gotten that pretty good. He's now working some at star with Jonell as well. So I feel like he's had a good spring this far in terms of picking things up. He's competing at two positions, so he's a dual train guy, probably getting more mental reps at star since he hasn't played that, and while also getting reps at safety. And I'm excited to kind of see him in his first scrimmage this Saturday.
Yeah, to ask about another guy, Julian Humphreys, a guy who worked his way into the rotation going through last year's. How have you seen him progress over the past year or so, and where is he in that corner battle? How is he assuming the role as one of the veterans there at corner now?
Yeah, well, if everybody understands Kamari's situation last year, Kamari could only practice, I would say, 30-40% of the practices during the season. So there was a lot of available reps for Julio, for Julian. He did a great job. He worked hard. He picked things up. He had to increase his toughness. He's always been able to run. He's always been able to cover, but his issues came from knowing exactly what to do when people motion, things change. And I thought last year he did a great job of that. He picked all that up. He played really big in our Missouri game, and covered people well, had kind of a breakout game there. And then he had the unfortunate injury against Ole Miss. So he's had a good spring practice so far. I hope that continues. He's hungry. They got good competition going on at corner. You know, we don't look at it as two corners. I mean, we look at it as if there's four corners that can play, one of them is going to also play star, and they'll all play. And the more winning football players we can have at corner, the better off our team can be.
Definitely say it's been something I've been told since I first started playing football when I was younger. You can't block nobody unless you can stay in front of them. So if you can stay in front of somebody, you always get a chance of blocking them. So I really take pride in being good in my, like, technique, because I know a false step or something could be different to somebody else. So I just make sure I got to be on top of my technique just to make up for the length.
Ernest, coming out of the Trinity League, playing at Bosco, you guys are noted to play some of the most elite high school football in the country, and yet there's still a transition. What are the things that you can't possibly be ready for in college, even playing at a school like Bosco and in a league like that?
Well, I could just say seeing guys like Jalen Carter in the locker room, you know, stuff like that, it's not too many of those anywhere. So that'll just be the biggest transition for me, was just coming over, because I'll say we played like high-level football in the Trinity League with, like, as far as schematically and everything. So I'll just say the biggest transition was just bigger, faster, stronger people on the field.
Ernest, when you look to the spring after having a year as a starter, just how different does it feel? How much of a motivation or a boost, a confidence boost, is it to have started last year and now going through the spring?
I honestly feel it doesn't really have that much of a confidence boost, just because it's just going back to work every day. So I would just say it would just be the same as it always was, just going attacking and one day at a time, one period at a time, one rep at a time, and just consistently trying to grow yourself as a person, because if you get caught up in that stuff, that's when you could get complacent and lost and all the other stuff.
Yeah, recovering from back surgery seems deeply unfun. How just much more comfortable are you feeling now compared to this time last year, and how is being healthy maybe helping you continue to grow your game?
Well, I always had confidence in it. You know, I always knew that the surgery and all my rehab and everything went well. But like you said, just last spring, this time being the first time on the field since, I could say it's on your head a little bit, but you got to go out there and do it. But going into this year, feeling a lot better. It's easier on a mental standpoint, most definitely.
Yeah, Kirby said you had to improve your stamina, your work ethic and practice, all that stuff as you came back from that injury. Just what were the hardest parts of that and getting adjusted to what it takes to practice at an elite level and play at an elite level?
Well, like I always said, it takes football to get in football shape. You know, you can do all the conditioning you want to, but it's mental and physical. It takes football to get in football shape. So you can take as many walkthrough reps as you want to, as much film as you need to be in, studying, but as long as it take reps on the field, live reps, to get comfortable with live reps.
This is the amazing job that we have as far as the recruiters here, organization, getting people like myself and all my teammates, like you said, usually always All-Americans or top-tier players regardless. And the other thing is the type of players that we want to have here is the type that work hard no matter whether you're not necessarily in the rotation right now, you're a freshman coming up, coming in with the same mindset to get better every day and just going back to our core principles, just trying to stay consistent with that and work as hard as we can to get each other better, thus making the games much easier and us able to reach our true potential.
Michael, what was last season like for you getting to be more regularly out there, being part of that rotation, and just getting to play the role you did over the course of the season?
Obviously, it was a blessing. Was just previously mentioned, all the hard work that we all put in, just accepting my role and knowing that if my number was called up, just going to have to go out there and perform, and that can go for any one of us in the offensive line room because of the work that we put in throughout the week.
Micah, Kirby talked about you a little bit ago about kind of how guys know when you pull around or when you come, you move up to the second level to block, that you're kind of getting there with bad intentions. What, give me your thoughts on the whole idea that, you know, of being a tone setter or an intimidator out there on the field, and how you feel about that role for yourself.
This is one of my favorite things. I like running into people, running over people. It's just a mentality. You know, their mouthpiece better be in because mine's in and I'm coming for you. That's about it.
Yeah, Mike, I'm curious at what point in your football career you noticed that when you hit people, they move a little bit differently. And at what point when you got here at Georgia, did you realize that ability was kind of transferring over from high school to college?
I guess I noticed the ability. It had to be sometime in high school when I started playing offensive line because middle school I was D-line. So sometime in high school and I guess it would have to be a practice either my sophomore year or early junior year whenever I did one of the pool plays. Realized, hey, I got it still, so that'll be it.
Yeah, what's your relationship like with Dylan Fairchild? You guys come in the same class together. You guys are competing at left guard together. Can obviously be a little bit of competition there, but I get the sense that you guys both have a real admiration for each other as well.
Yeah, it's actually funny. Dylan, he went to West Forsyth, so I played him two times back in high school. So me and Dylan go way back before we even knew we were going to end up being teammates. So like you were saying, obviously, we just want to get each other better, pushing each other all the time, obviously. But at the end of the day, that's my brother. We've been through a lot together, all the practices, runs, stuff like that. So it's definitely something great, you know, because whenever it's two solid players like me and Dylan just getting each other better, just at the end of the day, it's making our team better, and that's the goal.
What can you tell us about Ernest Green, and what is it like playing beside him?
It's awesome. I mean, Ernest Green, don't tell him I told you guys this, but he has some of the best feet I've ever seen in a tackle. I know I mess with him a lot, but I mean, it's awesome, especially seeing him grow up, because I was here before him, just seeing him develop from how he was when he first came in to now. Still, even though he plays still, it's still night and day now, just seeing how much he's developing. I really, really appreciate him, all that he does for me, and just working with him is amazing.
He's made a mistake. It's a teaching moment, and we hope he gets better from it.
All right, we're going to keep it pushing. March Madness coming your way. We have two games on Atlanta News First tonight. Number 6 seed Clemson taking on Arizona, and then after that will be 4 seed Alabama taking on North Carolina. We will run through all the matchups. Lee, I would like your predictions for tonight. You got Clemson or Arizona?
I'm going to take Arizona.
I, too, am going to take Arizona in that one. San Diego State or UConn?
UConn.
It is going to be UConn. I would love an upset here just for funsies, but I just don't know if it's really going to happen.
No.
I don't think so. Then we have Alabama, North Carolina. Do you watch a lot of Alabama basketball? Like, I know
I have the last like month.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So
they're very up and down.
So you're not, if you're going North
threes,
Carolina?
If they hit threes, they can beat anybody. If they're shooting as well as they can, I mean, they average the most points in America. They also are like 100 and something in total defense. So it's.
So we're going North Carolina.
We're going to Alabama.
No, you're not.
Yes, we are.
Are you really?
Hey, last time they played, Alabama won. Just
quit.
There.
Quit. Okay, and then this is the hardest one of the day.
Yeah, I don't know about this one.
Iowa State and Illinois. Oh, my God. This will give me a second to go on an absolute rant.
So
are you ready for this? Wait, what do you want to say?
Iowa State is predicted to win 58%.
Good. I would like to go with Iowa State. So I'm going to tell a little story time here.
All right.
So I went to Oklahoma State. I am unapologetically an Oklahoma State fan, whatever. Basketball team just got rid of Mike Boynton, who, great coach, just wasn't winning. And ultimately it comes down to winning.
It happens.
but Mike Boynton was handed a really crappy hand. And that is because of Brad Underwood, who is the coach at Illinois. For those who don't know, Brad Underwood had people on his staff. Do you remember the whole bribe case that the FBI got involved in? And I believe Arizona was a part of it. We had an assistant coach a part of it. Adidas was a part of it.
Yeah.
Brad Underwood was the head coach at the time when that happened. He had no ramifications. They totally got everyone out of staff, replaced everyone. There were a lot of players that even transferred that had already graduated. By the time the NCAA had already come down with its violations and suspensions for all of Oklahoma State's program, everyone was gone.
Yeah.
And there was a postseason ban. And ironically enough, it was when Cade Cunningham was there. But guess what? When NCAA was there, when the NCAA came down and we're like, oh, we're going through the investigation, Cade Cunningham was on the team. And Cade Cunningham was the number one overall pick. And they didn't want to keep him out of the tournament. So they let them play that year. But the next year was the ban. When this is years outside of that. That is just total, total crap. And Brad Underwood is the one who should be taking responsibility for all of that. But he fled the scene.
And where'd he go?
Went to Illinois.
Ah.
So you're
I'm going big with Cyclones
Iowa,
fan
I'm
tonight.
Going with the Iowa State
big
Cyclones tonight.
Fan.
Thank you for listening to my 2-minute TED Talk.
Oh, no, it's great. It's great.
About me hating on
about
Brad
big
Underwood
12 basketball.
In Illinois.
In Big Ten basketball.
Big 12
basketball. Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, Big Ten for Illinois, I guess, but yeah. So, yeah, you going – because of that, you're going to go Iowa State too, right?
Sounds great.
Love that for me. We'll be watching.
I don't think it matters who wins because UConn's going to take this whole thing.
You have UConn going the whole way?
Yeah.
So, I got
– unless Zach Edey just plays the game of his life against UConn.
So
– which I don't think he can.
I got a lot of grief for my bracket for having Marquette make it to the Final Four.
They're still in.
But the fact they made it this far
is, yeah.
They could be a dark horse. I am a believer in a Shaka Smart rerun in this tournament. So
oh,
we'll,
Shaka Smart is their coach?
Yeah, remember he left Texas?
Wichita State in Texas, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
right. Forgot about that.
They're wheeling and dealing. I don't know. Shaka seems like a cool guy. I feel like they're an underdog team. They're kind of under the radar. Why not?
Might as well.
Might as well. Let's keep playing basketball or keep sticking with basketball. A name everyone knows, no introduction. I was Caitlin Clark.
CC.
She'll be busy on a women's Final Four weekend in Cleveland. whether her Iowa Hawkeyes make it or not, because she's the face of women's basketball.
She's going to be there either way.
But she was actually invited to partake in Team USA's training camp for the 2024 Olympics in Paris. And this is quite a take for her because she's still in college right now.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, she's going to go into the draft. She's going to get drafted. She's going to be number one overall. But wow.
I would amend your previous statement. She's actually the face of basketball right now.
Yeah, correct, correct. You're right.
Not
right.
Women's
Thank you.
Basketball.
Thank you for correcting
I
that
I think
for me.
She's the face of basketball.
Thank you. I agree. I agree.
Now that, like, the NBA finals haven't started, or, you know, the NBA postseason, I think she's still getting all the headlines.
No, she definitely is, and she's joining a bunch of Olympians, which probably is kind of daunting for her. But the reality is like, she's a boss and she's going to go in there. I would not be surprised if
in 2 months, guess what? She'll be in the WNBA either way.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
I would not be surprised if she makes the roster.
Yeah. Oh, I think she will make the roster.
Ryan Howard for the Dream is also among those invited to camp. We will see who makes it. That will be announced in late spring. That's what, 14 spots right now, and they're going to dwindle it down, so we'll see who makes that. All right, we got a few more minutes here on Sports Tonight. Let's wrap up with what is on your mind. Lee, I will start with you.
I think the best guard in the entire country is Mark Sears from Alabama, and I don't think many people know about him. Just throwing that out there. Dude's going to have 30 points tonight, and Alabama's going to pull a shocker.
Oh, Ellie, would you like to chime in? I can be the mic for you.
I mean,
Ellie says
look,
Lee's
but,
a homer,
but look,
which I kind of
up,
agree
though.
With her.
No, I am, but look at the stats. Dude's a baller. No one heard of him because he plays for Alabama.
Roll Tide.
And they've been up and down all year.
Roll Tide. I just don't think the SEC.
Hey, where's Missouri at?
Oh, that was unfair. Oh, that was mean. Kids, break it up. Kids, break it up. All right, what's on
or
my
Oklahoma
mind?
Or Oklahoma State.
Oh, dude, we've been irrelevant. We've been irrelevant for a few years now. You're not going to hurt my feelings with those comments.
I can't tease Brett because Tennessee's actually still got a shot.
For the comeback.
what's
okay.
on your mind?
In addition, I'm going to talk about the College Park Skyhawks. They will be coming up on Peachtree TV and Peachtree Sports Network at 7 against the Maine Celtics. But yeah, we have some fun things, and we're going to have some fun things to talk about coming up as well. Of course, you can always find your news here on Sports Tonight. But for tonight, I'm going to wrap it up. Bailey Burmaster, Lee Smith, join us throughout the week for Sports Tonight. Lee, any final comments?
March Madness is here.
Roll
March
tide.
Madness is here. Roll Tide.
All right, we'll let you all go. Have a good night.